Blog Talk Radio.
Alaroye, yo gode, alaroye.
de.
Agua me lle, chon chon me lle, bocum bocum a la mahue.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. Olodumare Mokiloni Mowogun Marin Aye, Mother, Father, Creator God, I greet the new day. I greet the four directions that create the world. You are now listening live to Ifa Wednesdays with the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Udu Obeha Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my work along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth, and it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin and the place from where I realize and crystallize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is April 17th, 2013, and this is another powerful Ifa Wednesdays here on the Power Lunch. Hoodoo, New Orleans, Voodoo Secrets and Recipes with the Divine Prince and my illustrious co-host, Awo Ojolola Ajani Ifa Sakin. Prayerfully, also our Asokbo co-host, Adinyeni Ajani Elekbombu, will also be calling in with us today on Ifa Wednesday. Sometimes we have differences in time and things happen, but we stick to spirit here. We follow spirit here on the show, and that is truly the vein in which we operate. I am going to open Baba Ifa Sakin's line. He will be bringing a very powerful and much needed topic and discussion to us here today. And I want to offer him that opportunity to not only greet, but to provide a foundation, if you will, for moving forward. So if you will, Baba Ifa Sakin. Baboni, Alafia.
Alafia, I'm doing well, and I pray you are too. I want to, of course, give thanks and praise to all of Mario, without whom nothing would exist. And I give thanks to you, Orumela Ifa, for divine wisdom and guidance, and to the ancestors and all Orisha for their assistance and guidance and support in life, Ashe. I also want to give thanks to my spiritual lineage of Oshoko, specifically that Ma Oluwo, Ifashola Adekunle, Onifade, and his entire family and all the Babalawos of Oshoko who have helped me over the years, Ashe. Of course, I want to give thanks to my parents, my wife, and the rest of the family for their continued support. Ashe. Also, special thanks to our listening audience. And I would like to give thanks to a very special friend of mine who suggested today's topic. And I'm not going to name that person to them, but that person.
Baba, we can just barely hear you for the background noise.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm actually sitting in a public place, and it is a little noisy here today. I wanted to give thanks to a very special friend of mine who suggested today's very important topic. That friend, if you're listening, I thank you for suggesting this. It's a very important discussion topic that we're on today. And that topic is inequity in Ifa and other African traditional religions and practices. Specifically, we're looking at the difference in treatment between men and women, what men and women get from Ifa and other African traditional religion practitioners in the faith, and what's unfair about the treatment. Also, looking at the treatment that specifically Americans get from traditional practitioners on the motherland, and we'll look at some inequities there, and look at differences in the way Americans are treated in their journey as they're seeking to grow spiritually and reclaim their true spiritual and ethnic heritage. It's a difficult enough task for us here in the diaspora to reach out and get the proper information that we need, and to make the trip over to Africa if we can, and just to deal with people from a distance. And, we do really need fair treatment in that, and the truth of the matter is that we don't always get it. Looking at the treatment of women, there is a serious problem in the way women are handled in African traditional religion and in Ifa specifically, as I have seen. One of the problems is that the Ifa practitioners are reluctant to teach women. Even if a woman is initiated to Ifa and she is supposed to be divining and helping other people, there is still a reluctance to teach these women so that they can properly go out and do the work of Ifa. There is also holding women back in other ways, and unfortunately a lot of times trolling and abusing, which is really, really bad. And in other variations and adaptations of Ifa, such as Bukumi, when a woman receives the fa, she doesn't receive the same thing that a man receives. And that is really a matter of trying to control women and hold them back. I'm sure many people are familiar with the story from Osetura, in which the importance of women is emphasized, and that is in the story where the male Orisha refused to acknowledge Oshun, and when Oshun wanted to be included, they just excluded her. In all of the deliberations and planning that the Orisha were doing, whenever they would gather, they would leave Oshun out, and Oshun was very upset about this, and she brought her complaint to Olodumare. After that, there came a point where everything that the men tried to do was not coming out right. And it continued that way until the men then went to Olodumare themselves and they said, hey, we're having a problem. Everything that we do is not working out right. And Olodumare asked them, well, I see all you've been here. What happened to the one woman who was among you, Oshun? And they said, well, she's just a woman. And Olodumare told them that they need to include her and they need to recognize her importance. Once they did that and they began to include her in things, their efforts became fruitful. Things they did were successful. And that's because these things could not be done successfully without the input of a woman. She has a vital role in life. And, this is a story from Ifa that many, many people know. I don't think there's a Babalawo alive in Nigeria or even in the United States that has not heard of this story from Osetura. And given that, I wonder how it is that so many practitioners in Ifa can ignore the importance of women and how they can try and hold women back and control them. It just doesn't make any sense to me, and I find it quite deplorable. Just as I'm sure most women find it deplorable. It's a serious problem, and we've got to bring this problem out in the open and really solve this problem. The way to solve the problem is to just stop it. Whether or not we can get everybody to go along, I don't know. But maybe through this show, we'll wake some people up and they will see what has been done wrong and what they've been doing wrong and change it, stop what they're doing and do things the right way. Just as the male Orisha were made to see their wrongs and they stopped and started doing things the right way. With that said, I will turn it over to you, Prince Ty, and I hope that we get some good input from our listening audience on this because it is something that affects everybody directly. Ashe.
And particularly from the women listeners, we would certainly appreciate
Hi, I'm not hearing you, but it disappeared.
Peace and blessings. Baba, are you there? I'm not sure what happened there. I got booted off the line. And it appears Baba also got dropped from the switchboard. So we do apologize to all of our active listeners for any interruptions in the show. Okay, we got Baba back online. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Of course, it's more complicated, I think, than just the acknowledgement of women, and that's just one way of sort of phrasing it. I was particularly intrigued by the fact that you chose equity, I believe, as opposed to equality. And I think there is a very distinct difference, being that we all bring very distinct gifts to the table. And I think equality, particularly in this Western mindset, tends to want to equalize things, compare things, may even be a better phraseology, as opposed to valuing that which each circumstance, each individual, each endeavor may require. And they're very powerful gifts, skills, that are being left out of the equation, or at least devalued from the women within our community. Now, having said that, we all share some responsibility in that. Both men and women, both practitioners of IFA, as well as within our everyday community. And I think that has to be brought into the discussion, because for many of us, and I've said this before on the show, we're sort of trying to incorporate what I view as a indigenous mindset into a sort of a westernized structure. And we've seen that example before in other religions, in other paths, Christianity, Islam, as just two examples, and particularly here in the West, and even more so here in the States, we're taught to sort of compartmentalize who we are, and a great deal of that is weighed with our value within this society. What I do as a practitioner, what you do as a Baba Lao, what we do here in this space, it's not akin to the world that we sort of operate in. So its value is only viewed through a prism held by those who understand the language, are already a part of this community, or may already be actively investigating this community, you know, whether it be out of curiosity or a true desire to become a part of IFA. So I think that is crucial. Also, before I pass the mic, I think it's necessary that we also look at the distance. And we see that not just in IFA, we see it in Palo, we see it in Santeria, we see it in La Comi, we see it in many of the other traditions where a location, if you will, is seen as sort of the Mecca, the center of the world of that tradition. And again, we're sort of trying to carry that into this society, into this world, into this lifestyle, without being prepared for adjustment, without giving adjustment the necessary forethought. And the ultimate evidence is the breakdown in our community. We can't just blame the church. We can't just blame the judicial system. We can't just blame education. We all have to carry some responsibility in that. And to some degree, particularly with ATR here in the States, we've sort of created very elitist pockets in which we operate in, and we are not extending into the greater community the way some other groups, some other organizations may be doing. And again, there's a whole other set of reasons for that, from finance to understanding. Many of us operate in communities that have very limited understanding of who we really are, what we really do. Here in New Orleans, everything is voodoo. The distinctions are only made by people who have the understanding. Oh, well, that's not, that's Ifa, or that's Palo, or that's something more specific. So we're still constantly, even in our home turf, if you will, happen to educate and re-educate. So it has to start with our women, more so than anyone, because they are the first teachers, and they are, in my opinion, the most effective teachers with the greatest reach. We do have other callers on the line at area code 347-215-8967. We do most certainly appreciate each and every one of you. And if you will, when you're ready, do press the number one on your telephone keypad, and we will unmic you and bring you into the conversation. Baba, are you still with me? I'm not hearing you
yes, I'm,
at all.
I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
I'm definitely.
Okay, there you are.
Yes. The differences in the societies that we live in compared to what is in Nigeria, for example, it's a whole different culture where we're used to certain things here that would really be unacceptable in Nigerian culture. And in the Nigerian culture, there are things that are viewed as unacceptable here. And we've got to get over these differences, because when you fully embrace and adopt Ifa in your life, you have to take on a different set of principles and a different set of rules that definitely will vary somewhat from what we're used to here in the United States.
And Baba, quickly, if I can jump in real quick, because I want to be clear about this too. I talk to people in Nigeria every day. I talk to people in West Africa every day from Nigeria who are completely disconnected from Ifa. So it's not just, I think, location, but mindset. You know, the Western mindset is encroaching on the globe, not just us, not just the UK, and even now in Nigeria. And I'm sure if we could get some Nigerian callers to participate, they too would probably say that they are beginning to notice some dichotomy in terms of those who probably hold to a more traditional mindset in terms of the place and role, the position of women, not just in Ifa, but in the community at large.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Because we see a lot of people who are educated by Western schools that are established in Nigeria, and when these students graduate and they go out into the world to practice their trade, whatever field it is that they specialize in, that they have their degrees in, quite often they come out as Christians, even though they may have been, you know, traditionalists when they started school. But the school indoctrinates them, and not only as Christians, but also to American way of thinking. And it really changes whole perspective on life and changes their traditional values to really American values. And that's a major problem because many traditionalists within the motherland end up not being respected by a lot of their own people because they have changed. They've changed their values, they've changed their spiritual beliefs. And when these changes occur, they're taught that the traditional ways are wrong or they're evil. They're taught that, you know, the traditionalists are honoring demons and Satan and all this. And it really makes things difficult right there within the motherland. I remember the year that I went to Nigeria for my Ifa initiation. That was in the fall of 1999. And there was a group of young people who were like teenagers. And, you know, one boy asked me, he asked me if I, you know, was enjoying being in Africa. And I told him yes. And then he went on to ask me, you know, well, what was I doing there in that particular place? Because I wasn't in a tourist area. I was at a Babalawo's home, who was, you know, on the outskirts of the city. And I told him that I was there for my Ifa initiation, which had just taken us. And he shook his head and said, "Oh, you need to give your life to Christ." And he said, "That's evil. You be involved in that." And that really hurt my heart. Not that it was any insult to me, but it was an insult to our heritage, and specifically to this boy's own heritage that he was initially born into. And how you can have disrespect for your own heritage that you're born into, it has me totally bewildered, and it saddened me to the core, really. And you know, I think about how things are here in the U.S., and really it's not a whole lot different. I've been told by many Christians, even some Muslims, that, you know, I'm worshiping Satan and I'm working for false gods. And, you know, these are Christians and black Muslims telling me this.
And various other paths are sort of mixed in there, too. Because, you know, we live in the day of Burger King now where you sort of have your own way. And many of these paths are sort of incorporating different pieces of various traditions to support their own ignorance, to be quite honest. So you're right on point with that. I had a brother make some really out there comments on my page, on my Facebook page, last night, in terms of the issue with black men being those of us who are trying to adopt, to adhere to what he saw as idolatrous paths. And if we use that word and that language and that mindset, they're all idolatrous, in my opinion, if you're viewing them through that cipher. Whereas from a more pure spiritual perspective, I don't think the religion or the path is a determining factor when it comes down to your behavior and your belief and your demonstration. One of those paths, and I'm reluctant to say new paths, because really it's just a reconstitution of several things to create something that's palatable for the time, for the moment, in a trending society. And that is of the goddess. Am I a goddess worshiper? Absolutely. Do I acknowledge the goddess? Absolutely. Do I think that life could exist without the goddess? No, it could not. But again, we have to look at the language that we're using when we speak these paths and we speak these truths and we present these posts. But more importantly, we have to look at our behavior and our demonstration. And I find that that's where the most intense argument, whether it be here or in Nigeria, around the male-female thing really began to develop. Because at the end of the day, you know, we can spend 2 hours talking philosophy and Odu and text and scripture and all this other stuff. And at the end of the day, it's about how do you treat your mother? How do you treat your daughter? How do you treat your sister? How do you treat your aunt? How do you treat your coworker? How do you treat your neighbor, you know, across the street, you know, who may be struggling with something that you can be of assistance with? So, you know, not only is this a topic that's imperative to be addressed in this particular climate, but I don't think it's possible for us to move forward and to continue to move forward in a fruitful way without getting some understanding as it relates to this. And you and I privately have talked about this before, and I don't want to, you know, open up a can of worms in the middle of the show, but for me, how we treat our women, how we identify the female principle in our philosophies and our religions and our practices and our beliefs and our demonstration, it greatly affects so many other things that we're dealing with, that we're confronting with, that we're in denial of right now in our society. And one of those is the whole gay marriage thing, the quote-unquote effeminization of the black man. You know, as if feminine energy, just on, you know, on its own, is something poisonous, is something evil. And for you Bible scholars who truly understand that concept, is a Christian concept, which is in the Bible. Bob, I'm going to hold it down for a quick minute. Somebody's at my door. Baba,
yes.
I'm going to hold it. Sure.
Okay. You are definitely right that, you know, the way we treat one another, the way we treat women, is, you know, key to how our society is. It is key to how we're living. And one thing that I try to emphasize to all of my students, godchildren, clients, what have you, is that Ifa is life. It's not just a doctrine is not just a another religion, so to speak. It is, as far as life itself, it's the way you handle things in life, it's the way you deal with other people, it's the way you handle yourself. The stories in Odu Ifa, all the Eshe Ifa that we have, these are not, you know, just isolated lessons or just pieces of advice that people often use them as, but these are the general and specific lessons of life. Because Ifa is life. It is instructions on how to live. And a lot of opponents to so-called organized religion may fight against that, you know, the idea of having instruction to how to live. But, you know, if you have human beings without instruction, without any set of rules, human beings tend to run amok. And things like greed and being hungry for power and trying to dominate, you know, these things take control because human beings let those things control them. They let themselves be consumed by greed and power and wealth and all this. So we need, you know, some kind of instruction, some kind of guidance. And Ifa provides that. Ifa provides that in a very clear and moral and upbeat manner. And we need to adhere to it. And we need to adhere to it fairly in our dealings with, you know, all people, regardless of gender. We cannot continue treating women with disdain or treating them in a way where we're trying to hold them back or control them or keep them down. Women have a vital role in life.
That's right.
So now, I personally know more than one Iyani Fa, which is a female priestess of Ifa. I personally know more than one who's been initiated and, you know, they've been told that they need to be doing the Ifa work, they need to help people, but at the same time, they have not been taught to do so properly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is only a matter of how they're taught by Babalawos here in America, also Babalawos in Nigeria. They, unfortunately, what I've seen, a lot of them, you know, ignore the requests of women and even sometimes ignore the requests of men from the Americas. Here in the United States, and just being American, sometimes, you know, a man can be treated just as badly as a woman is treated. Simply because that person is American and not African. And what they need to understand in Africa is that we're all African in descent. So if they do us wrong, they're doing their own brothers and sisters wrong. A lot of times...
And the survival of Ifa over the long term. But I think
you're getting a little muffled. I'm having trouble hearing you.
Okay. I think it's the interference that you're getting from where you are, to be quite honest.
Oh, no, actually, I'm hearing you now.
Oh, okay, great. Yes, Adeyemi.
Yeah, Adeyemi. It has been a long time since I come on Block Radio, so I want to say my apology for the signals and network problem. Sometimes I've tried to call, I don't get through, and I don't get through. So it happens like that sometimes. So I want to first of all pay homage to Olodumare, to Baba, the father, to Iya, to Oluwo and Ojibwana. I call that as a da, Iba. Iba Lonio, Iba. So everything they make it accepted. Yeah. For those that are first hearing my voice today, I'm Adeni Ajani Elebibo, the Tukum Elebibo. So calling from Nigeria, West Africa, where I'm calling from. So very happy to be online, to be on here with you today. So what is going on? What topic are we going to take today?
It's good that you came in just when you did, because I was specifically talking about the treatment of women and Americans in general, the treatment that we get by Nigerian babalawos, that a lot of times women are not taught the way they should be, and that there's, you know, sometimes held back or even abused by some babalawos, and that even sometimes American men are ignored in some ways by Nigerian babalawos, really just because they're American. And there seems to be sometimes a failure to realize that, you know, we are all African in descent, and that when we are ignored as Americans or American women or just women in general, that you're ignoring your own brothers and sisters. I know that is not the practice of all babalawos, but I have definitely seen that, you know, on many occasions. So I'd like some input from you regarding what you have seen and what you have experienced, and to hear what is being done or what can be done to change that in Nigeria.
You know that what you are saying is that the way that the people in Nigeria look at the people come from America, right? The way they look like them, that you're talking about the way they are looking at the people that come from America, and the people that are in Nigeria. The way the people from Nigeria are looking at them, you know, they don't treat them, how to treat them well. Right? Is that what you are saying?
Yes, that's correct. And is that they're not treated well in really how they are taught. Many Americans are not taught Ifa the way they should be. Granted, they operate from a distance, but, you know, still we have telephone communication. We've got email and online chat, and, of course, there's postal mail. But there's not enough communication going on to teach Americans in Ifa all the understand that the circumstances are different because traditionally, if a young initiate or somebody who is going to be initiated to Ifa is going to study Ifa with a Babalawo, they will live in that Babalawo's home or in that Babalawo's compound, and they will work for that Babalawo and in turn learn from that Babalawo day by day. They basically learn by doing, learn by being exposed to it. But we've got a different situation with people in America, whereas we are not able to be there to work for the Babalawo and cannot gain the daily experience being around the Babalawo. But at the same time, I don't think that everything that could be done or should be done is actually done for the people in America who are initiated to Ifa.
Divine, I can get your question. You know, first of all, the main problem is that language barrier. That's the first thing that caused all this problem. Because over here, some people, all of us, we learn Ifa with Yoruba, with our own language. So then not everybody that's learning Ifa or knows Ifa here speak English. Some people, they know Ifa, but they don't speak English. So some may say, okay, you want to learn Ifa, but you that want to learn Ifa, you don't hear Yoruba. The one that want to teach you, you don't hear English. You see? So that is the first problem that is caused all this. Over here, I know some people like me. I love to teach people Ifa or language or any other thing that or culture, tradition that you want to know. But those that you want to teach, some people that they don't even have more interest or knowledge to because Ifa will cram it, it's in our head. So then the way we learn Ifa over here, we is different. So if you come now, for example, if you come here, okay, you want to come learning Ifa. Although here we learn when we are young, we learn like that. But if you want to go to one master or your Oluwo to learn from him, that is the way that you used to do it, that you will do in front of him. You can't sit in the chair because you want to learn. Then you can't let me tell you that the man old Babalawo here, you can't call them on phone, say you want to learn Ifa. They will not teach you. They will not teach you anything. You say, well, you have to go to that man, to his house, and serve, work for him, plant, make that, you help him plant, make a blood show. You will plant, you will grant medicine for him. You can spend 3 days in his house, work for him. In that 3 days, he will not teach you. It depends how if you're hardworking. You're nice, okay. I think you're hardworking, you're nice. Then, another thing you want to learn from him, so he will teach you. He will teach you. Then, over here, they do this way. It's okay, your son, I want son to learn Ifa. If you are in, for example, you are in New Orleans, then your friend is Babalawo, is in Atlanta. Over here, you're going to say, this is my son. You will now take your son to your friend in Atlanta to stay with him, to serve him, because you want to learn from him. So you now from New Orleans to Atlanta. Your son may spend like 10 years there, 15 years with his Oluwo to learn from him. That is how they do it. But now things are changing. You can't come here now and say you want to spend 6 months, a year to learn Ifa. So if you want to come for a week or 2 weeks. Say you want to learn. No, you can learn, but you don't learn everything. You get a simple, just a small thing you learn. Because sometimes for you to know Okwele, to know how to divine, change, it takes some people 2-3 months. It depends how well you are, you know, you can remember things. So the thing is very, very different. If you come, okay, you want to learn in Ifa, I can't say, okay, develop, okay, do this, do that for me. Or I plan this, grant this. If I ask you to grant, you don't know how to grant it because you never done it before. So then, if you come here and you want to learn, that's why we tell our people, it's not easy to come here. I know it's expensive. Some people come every year, but they save money. It's expensive. So it now depends if that person has the knowledge or have more wisdom that he can cram, can study very, very well. So on the internet, some people teach from internet, but in those days when we are learning, nothing like that. You can't call your Oluwo or your Baba, Baba, I want to learn this practice on phone. No. You can never do. It's not going to happen. So that's the difference. The difference is that the language barrier. If I don't speak, I speak English now, but not like you. I'm trying. But you can't speak Yoruba. As I do, I learn Ifa with Yoruba. That on languages, as on speech in Ifa, that's on words, that's a word in Ifa, that it has no meaning in English. You can't translate it to English. So, the most thing is that it's a language. Some people that they want to teach people, but how do they teach them? Those want to teach you, you don't hear English. You do that, you want to teach, you don't hear Yoruba. You see?
Let me jump in there real quick. We are taking calls at area code 347-215-8967. We do ask that you do be patient with us. We have a couple of people who did raise their hands, but they hung up before they allowed you to finish your talk. Someone is producing a lot of background noise. I think that's Ethiopian.
Yes.
So we appreciate you calling in from Nigeria. We just want you to keep in mind that people are trying to jump in with questions every now and then, and we most certainly do appreciate you. And we ask them to call back at 347-215-8967 with their question, comment, or request. Baba Ifasken, I think you have something you wanted to say.
This is specifically addressing some of the things that Elder Boy Barnes said. Baba, I understand the methods of teaching in Nigeria, but there are a lot of those methods cannot be used when people in America, because they cannot make the trip to Nigeria regularly, and they can't spend months and years over there because they have families and obligations here in the United States. And, you know, you mentioned, you stated several times that, you know, without the physical presence there, it's not going to happen because the person has to, you know, be there, work the Babalawo, and learn from the Babalawo by direct exposure. I don't agree with that. And reason being is that I've had some lessons over long distance by telephone, by mail. And although I could not be there to physically work for my Oluwo, I have done other things for him to help him, such as referring clients to him, not only clients from the States, but people that I have come across over the internet who are right there in Nigeria. You know, so I have helped Maoluo in that way, and he has helped me with lessons in Odu Ifa, and you know, the times when I have been over there in Nigeria, he did a lot to expose me to different things, such as making soaps, making Ifa medicines, and participating in various ceremonies, and so I know that the teaching can take place without the person being physically there. But I think that if the student wants to learn, the student has to support the Oluwo and do that in any way that we can. Like I said, I've done that by referring clients to Maoluo, bringing new people to be initiated to Ifa, and in turn, you know, I have been taught. But far too often, you know, I see where people are not taught, where other Oluwos have initiates that are here in the United States. They don't make the effort to teach their students, even, you know, if they ask, and even if they are referring people to them. And, you know, you mentioned the language barrier. That is not such a big issue as it used to be, because a lot of the, especially a lot of the younger Babalawos, I mean, like, you know, less than 30 years old, who have been educated in the schools there, they come out speaking English very well. So there is not so much of a language barrier problem. And even if the person's Oluwo is, you know, not fluent in English, the Oluwo definitely has other, maybe younger Babalawos on them who are very fluent in English. And, you know, although there are words, although there are some words that cannot be translated, there's still a general, a good understanding can be established. So, you know, I don't think there's enough of, you know, real effort to teach Americans. And it's even worse when it comes to women. Their requests to learn are unanswered, and I think women are generally even better than the men when it comes to supporting their Oluwo by referring clients to them. And, you know, so although they can't be there to physically work for the Oluwo, they are helping the Oluwo by referring people to them, and you know, that is generating a lot of revenue, putting the Babalawos children through school. And, you know, I think that work for the Babalawos needs to be recognized and needs to be compensated in the form of being taught, and in the form of being...
Hello. Let me first of all
yes.
Say something that, you know, about when I say people learn, you can learn from phone call. But I'm talking about that is before. That's how we do. That's how we, me, the way we learn. That the way you can learn over there. You can't be coming to Nigerian every year, or come to Nigeria and stay in Nigeria for a year or 2 years. No, it's not easy. But that's how we learn, as I'm talking about. If you're good to your Oluwo, your Oluwo can teach you anything on phone. Anything you want to know, your Oluwo can teach. If you're good to your Oluwo, if you're nice to your Oluwo, or your Oluwo like you. So, your Oluwo can teach you anything you want to learn. on the internet, through phone call, they can teach you. Everybody has their own opinion or his own, how he does his own thing. So, about women, they can learn it far. So, you know, even women have a more, like I said, they learn, like they try to learn more than you know, men. So, women, like they are okay, they're cool, they want to learn, then they learn. Then, as you said, women, they really try supporting their Hollywood financially, morally. Even them. Women, most women always, they always do that. They always do that, like, supporting their men, their Hollywood, supporting everything that Hollywood wants to do. They are okay, they will be there. I'm okay, I will come. I want to support, I want to come and support and be there with you. Women, so that's not bad. If any woman's okay, you want to learn it, if they will learn it. Is learning as a dad. Although sometimes they have limits where they go, limits on if I fast, it's okay, you can learn it as fun. But if you learn if through phone call or whatever, that is, you can recall, you can say as a theory, that is a practice. Some practical, you are with only will do things in front of you, okay. Well, that is practical. We practicalize it. Okay, do this. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. That's what you can't do through phone call. But, you know, if you can learn if passes, and then you can decipher this, of how to make it happen, how to make it able. Some people, we give people, we write it, put it in a book on a computer. Okay, this is how we make it able. But you can read it. You may not understand it. You can read it. You know how we do it. Then each passes. Then we to follow each other. This one goes after this one. After this one, then we have to decide this one. But that is practical. Nobody teach me how to make an elbow. It's like you are seeing it. It's a thing that you see every day. Then you learn the passes that they are resides. You know how to make an elbow. But people like you, that you can't come here every day or to be here with us every time. They write it for you. Something you have to come. Or you only will come. Okay. This is practical. Okay, this is how we practicalize it. You cannot practicalize it. If you practicalize it, then it will make you more, but if you continue on phone or whatever, you know, how will I do that? So,
you know, if I may, Baba, I agree with both of you, and I think what I'm hearing both of you say, albeit not directly, is that we need a better network of communication. And I've said this before. All of us listening to the show right now have phone, have internet. Many of you have webcam, chat. We have means of developing the foundation. The foundation of EFA can be taught over the phone, can be taught in email. And that's often the part that I think many people miss. We tend to over-focalize on the ritual. And the ritual is important. And as both the Awa and Baba have said, there's a way of bringing those resources together and making sure that everyone gets what they need. But I think we have to have the attitude and the desire and a willingness and even a plan to do so. That's what we're lacking. And that's one of the things that I'm attempting to bring together through this forum. No one else on Blog Talk Radio or really anywhere else can say that they have active Bible Owls calling in and participating in their show from Nigeria. So what we're doing is already groundbreaking, but we need to develop it further in terms of creating a network of support, both
in Nigeria and here, because we can't expect Nigeria to give us everything, and most certainly not for free. But it's a two-way street, as with any community, as with any cooperative enterprise. We have to have an understanding, if you will, of what the needs are in Nigeria, in Asogbo, as well as what the needs are here, and make sure that's being addressed. Now, to sort of bring this back to the issue of women, for me, and I would dare say for most of us here in the state, our first exposure to Ifa is often through women. So to not empower our women to further develop these communities, to further build these communities, not only limits the growth of Ifa here, but it limits the growth of Ifa in Asogbo. Because if we're not secure enough and have a foundation enough to where we can begin to save, to pinch away, to invest in for a different day, then those networks are not going to be built. And 10 years from now, we'll still be having this same conversation, maybe even worse. And I think it's necessary that particularly those of us who are coming out of other religions, and particularly Islam and Christianity, they've been very effective in spreading their traditions and their belief system, no matter where they are in the world. And there's still no reason that we cannot further develop Ifa so that it is strong enough to support the family in the greater diaspora, and not put all of our eggs into, you know, two or three baskets, whether that be Nigeria or Cuba or Puerto Rico even. We've got to begin to build those foundations and those networks here in the States, where we are, if we're even going to begin to continue to support the whole, which is Nigeria, which is Asogbo, which is Oyo, which is where the tradition is rooted. We have to bring that into the conversation. And again, we have many listeners on the line, probably more than we normally have on the Ifa Wednesday. We invite you all to press number one and become a part of this conversation, particularly women. I feel very odd right now having this conversation and not having any women participate and lend a voice to this topic, to this conversation. So we invite you to do so. Adeyemi, go ahead, please.
I also want to say that for women that you have a child, you have a children already, it's good to catch them young. Those are our children, 2, 3, 4, 5, that they are growing now. So now to be teaching them the word of Ifa. Now that they are young, they will catch more than we that we are their father. So for now on, it's good that if we can start teaching our children about Ifa, about Odisha. Maybe after their school hours and whatever, because then, if there's any Yoruba class that's going over there, it's good for the young ones that they don't even speak much English. Start learning Yoruba. It will help. If you finally learn Yoruba, teach your son or your girl Yoruba too. Teach your children Yoruba so that your children even you will speak Yoruba more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it will help the new generation that they are coming. Because okay, I'm into Ifa. My children follow me. It affects our forefathers here before, because when they are in Ifa, okay, they want their children to go to school. Christian, that the one that they built is Muslim, they built school. Okay, where are you from? What is your name? My name is Sangodari. Sangodari. Ah, your father is a priest. Yes. Then you want to go to our school? Yes. Ah, no. We will give you Paul or Peter. So if you can be hiring Peter, then school is free. Then you, if you can be Peter, you allow to come to our school. Then they want their children to go to school. Okay, don't worry. It's just for meantime, go and be hiring their Peter. So they change the name. So I'm now Peter or Paul. After the school hours, they will learn maybe study for three hours. After that, church. They start to church something, church program. Maybe for 30 minutes or 1 hour. After the church program, teaching them about Jesus or whatever. After that, then study start again. You see, by that, the two, you know, gradually, some people are only saying, our teacher said that a man called Jesus, and all that. You know, that's how they turn people against their, what they are doing. If they want to go to school, they first change on you. Okay, education is free.
Yes. Baba.
So, it's good.
Baba.
Yes.
Please, let's get some of these hands in before they hang up on me. Area code 504, Nola Neighbor. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm calling from Kenner, Louisiana. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes. Alafia, peace and blessings. We certainly appreciate our local neighbors calling in and participating in the show, particularly today when we're discussing the role of women in EFA. And what is your question or comment?
My comment is, you know, I was listening to what you guys were saying, and being a mother of five boys, you know, I am trying to, I'm at a stage of learning. And, you know, and I heard you guys going over the different methods and, you know, ways that we could, you know, better educate ourselves so we can pass it down to the children. I guess my question is, you know, me coming from out of religion, you know, being from under a certain religion after all these years, you know, what to do to, what's the ways that you guys are doing now to help us to educate ourselves, the women educate themselves?
Well, if I can go first on that, I too came out of religion. Both of my parents are a well-known evangelist, if you will, in the evangelical, sanctified, apostolic church. I also have other members of my family, and I'm not going to call any names, but well-known bishops, apostles within the system. So I say that first just to say I completely understand. Now, for me, I had to first immerse myself in the tradition. And as Adeyemi just suggested, okay, so I couldn't afford initiation. I couldn't afford travel, but I could afford to learn Yoruba. I could afford to study the history. I could afford to go to the library. I could afford to get online and learn more about the culture and the tradition. As a former minister of music, I understand programs at a very deep and intense level. And for many years, just getting, you know, the white Jesus out of my imagination, getting the rhythm of some of the songs. Even today, I could be cleaning and sort of catch myself going into one of those hymns, going into one of those songs. And I don't stand in judgment, but what I do is I reorientate myself back to my present focus, which is not just Ifa, but a more traditional African-based, not just religion, not just belief, not just spirituality, but a lifestyle. It's created in everything that I do. So that would be my suggestion. Bring your boys to the drum circle on Sundays here in Congo Square.
there's not just Ephod there. You know, we have a Khan priestess there, Sula, the doula is there, other paths there, other traditions there. And it reinforces your wanting to move away from one mindset into the other. Now, in terms of my family, I did not make them my original focus. Because if you do, you invite yourself into the battle. I let them make their comments. I let them be where they were in their understanding. And when I had an opportunity to bridge a gap, I did, particularly with my mother. And we have a wonderful relationship, particularly today, without her feeling that she needs to condemn or judge my choice in religion and lifestyle, and without me feeling the same. You know, for many years, you know, I felt negative towards Christians. I felt negative towards Muslims. And as I said earlier in the show, I think we're taught that here in the West. You know, it has to be me against you. It has to be my group against your group. It has to be, you know, in order for me to survive, I have to suppress your liberties. You know, if I give you a crumb, then that means I'm not getting, you know, my part of the crumb. You know, and that's where we have to go back and wash that consciousness and feed the more traditional, the more indigenous. And again, to sort of go in full circle, I did that through study first. And I found that through the study and gaining that knowledge, it opened doors for me. Being able to go into a business and speak one or two words of their language caused Nigerians of many ethnic groups to embrace me as their own. And that's why where I got all my clothes from. That's where I got all my drums from. That's where I get all my implements that you all see me posting on Facebook from. I've never had that stereotypical view that, well, they don't like us, or we should find some reason to like them. I surrendered to the study of where I wanted to go. I think many of us are sort of wandering in the wilderness, and we know we want to go somewhere, and we're going to find it when it feels good to us or when it satisfies a need for us. And I think we have to be very careful about that. I went in consciously and did the homework. So don't fear homework.
Let me just say a little thing for this woman. You know.
Okay, and everything 203 will be with you in a minute. Go ahead, Baba.
Okay, this is a tradition, that this is the only religion that give a woman a chance. This is a religion that give woman chance. African religion give woman chance. We have a God, woman, Oshun, Oya, Yemanja, they are all women. So I'm very happy for you that you have five boys. Five boys. These are your future. Take them to Congo school. They will learn. They see their mate there. Then you, as their mother, you suppose you need to learn too. Because what you learn, you pass to them. As a woman, women play a very, very big role in the house of Babalawo, in the house of Orisha. Because they have their own women, and the one that's singing, dancing, take care of temples and all that. But so then if I bless them and bless their children, so then you can. If you don't have money to get initiated right now, it's okay. It doesn't matter, your Orisha, it's in your heart. Your ancestors, they are there watching you. So women, they are they have a role, very, very important role in tradition, very, very big role they play. Because without a woman in tradition, if you say, Babalawo, say, you don't have women, it won't be easy, it's not easy. Because a lot of people come to Babalawo, he needs women to cook, to assist him, whatever he does. So in tradition, women are very, very important, very, very important. You can't do without them. But in temple, that the one that make the temple sweet, because they are the one even come to temple. The men like in the temple, like for example, like, find like 20 men, 40 women. They are the one that worship. In fact, they love women most. Okay, they take care of their women. Akwatebi, the wife of a woman, Akwatebi, Yanifa. So they are very, very important. So you two can have your own role in tradition. Take your children to the Congo Square. They will drum, they will dance, they will see their maiden, they will learn, they will educate themselves. Baba is there to educate them too. So it's good that you come back to what really belongs to you, Oisha. If a traditional is belong to all African, whatever you can say, you're African, it belongs to everybody, every one of us. So it's good. It's good.
We appreciate that. And, beloved, did you have another comment? Because we have a few more hands we want to get before we run out of time. Kidder? Queen? Okay, maybe she's just listening.
Oh, no,
now.
I'm good. Oh. No, but
okay.
Okay.
Thank you. We appreciate Thanks. You. And do come back again. And
oh,
hug
I definitely
my neck.
Will.
And
Thank
go
you.
One Sunday. Okay.
I would definitely do that.
Thank you. Erico 203, who's calling and where are you calling from? 203-526, you had a question or comment? Okay, we're going to keep rolling. Erico 347.
Hello?
Where are you calling from? Yes, go ahead, beloved.
Hello?
I'm sorry, 347, just give me a moment. Erico 203, go ahead.
Abu Ashishe, Baba. First of all, I want to say Ashe to you in regards to the information that you've been given for the women. What I appreciated is the fact that the comment that you made in regards to the women helping with the building of the Ine and the importance of our presence there and how we support our laws and try to encourage others to understand the importance of Ifa. But I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate the program. This is the first time that I'm heard of the program and that I've logged in, but I really like the fact that you are incorporating the women because a lot of times, sometimes we do a lot of work, but our positions as Apetibis are like so in the back burner. It doesn't our position is not necessarily identified. So, Ashe to you, Baba.
Ashe. Ifa, again, you want to respond to that, please?
I'm not sure. Maybe I missed a question there, but I heard since I didn't hear a question specifically in that.
She didn't have a specific question.
Okay, just on her statements, it is very true that quite often the women are not recognized for the things that they do in the Ile, and their role truly is very important. As you mentioned yourself, Ms. Ty, is that women are often the first exposure that we have to Ifa, to any African traditional, regardless of where we're born. And I myself, although it wasn't directly, I wouldn't have known about Ifa had it not been for a woman. And this was a woman who was, at the time, she was a girlfriend of my younger brother. And she was involved in the tradition, and she had mentioned it to my brother, and my brother mentioned it to me, and I was, you know, so taken by it and driven toward it. And it was to the point where I felt hungry for it, and I felt total called to it. And then when I went to seek out somebody to help get me started on my Indy 5, the person I found who was really most open and most helpful was the Yanni 5, female Mr. B 5. And she was key in me getting started. I mean, she got me in the practice of the 4-day worship cycle of Ifa, also known as 5 days, depending on the way you count. If you count the Nigerian way or Yoruba, that's a 5-day cycle, but according to our calendar, it's a 4-day cycle. And, you know, she got me into that routine. She was the first one teaching me about the different area, and she is the one who introduced me to Violuo and accompanied me to Nigeria for my initiation. Without her, I don't know where I'd be any far right now, but I do know that she was key in me getting to where I am. She was key in me getting a foothold, so to speak, in Ifa. And that's just one example of the female support, the female energy, the female power, and how important it is in Ifa, how important it is for our growth in Ifa. And
hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, hello?
Hi, is everyone still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. I don't know whether I'm the next caller to speak because I don't hear the other two gentlemen anymore.
Yes, I'm open. I'm opening the line for area code 347-463. Is that you, beloved?
Yes, that's me. Okay.
Yes.
Well, first I want to thank you guys and send greetings to you, Baba Abroad, and all of the other Owls and Iyanifas that are on the line. One of the first comments that I would like to make is that one of the things that I would like to see happen as far as the Orisha community is concerned is that when people get initiated abroad, and I'm specifically speaking in terms of women, it would be so nice if they could have some type of master plan as far as Ifa is concerned on the basic things that the Babalawos are willing to teach the new Iyanifas. When they do Itagun, why can't that be something that is brought up during the Ifa Itagun? How can we all come together to join hands from Nigeria here to the States so that we can pull each other up? The way that I look at it basically is that people here in the diaspora, as far as African Americans are concerned, we are the ancestors of those that are in Africa because we've been through so much. Now we're trying to reach back for that something that we lost. Why is it that they cannot embrace us the same way and have a master plan on how we can come together to learn something that we've lost? Are you hearing me?
Let me say something about what you just said. You know, Ifa himself, in one of Ifa passes, Osetura, but Ifa talk about how important that a woman are, you know. Then in Itadogun, as you said. Itadogun, I can say this, you know, over here, as we really want to do our own Itadogun. Itadogun, women, they are not coming to Itadogun. Yeah, that is as a meaning. There are some kind of very, something that is happening that, you know, because over here, during the Itadogun, women is not allowed to come in. Only men, whether young, 3 years or whatever, no, but men, go to the temple, food and everything. But that is here. Because if I that's a one,
maybe my question is misunderstood.
Over there, you can Itadogun, they can be because what we have here, as a one Ifa, we call it Ifa Agbalu, Ifa for the whole, for the Ifa, that Ifa is for the whole Osogbo, even that you want Osogbo, so we call it Ifa Agbalu. That Ifa. If only whatever we place it, whatever, it don't normally come fast. So that's why we do it at Dogon. So, but in diaspora is supposed to have in every Saturday over here, we have we gather in the temple like service. We are meeting women, everybody. We are together dancing. We talk. If anything coming up, we talk about it together. Okay, this is how we do. Make this thing happen. Want to do this, then with men and women, we all talk together and rant, you know, about it. We drink, we eat, and all that. So, you as a woman, if you are initiated to Ifa or Orisha or Oshun, you can have your own Itadogun. Okay, I want to start my own Itadogun. I invite people, as many as you can, you can afford to feed them. That's how we do. You invite people to come to your house to eat for your Itadogun. When you feed your Ifa or Oshun or Batala, you first feed, that's the first person that you want to feed them first. After you feed them, the people will now come in. They will eat your food. They will drink your drink. Then they will dance. It's a prayer. Your Orisha, they will happy. They will be in your mix. Oshun will come because if you are doing your Itadogun for Oshun, also she will also invite Oromila. She also invite Egungun. She will also invite Yemaja. She will invite Ogun and all the Lusha. She will also invite them to call me. Like my own Akako, she is doing Itadogun for me today. I want you to come and join me. So the food that you feed Oshun, she will share it with them. She invited. She will share. Okay, my daughter. Okay, she will. For me, this is our tea that she brings. This is the food. Okay, let us share it together. So they are in your mix. You all make a prayer. Oh, it will be accepted. Singing, they will dance with you. They are all happy. That during that time, Itadogun makes you call all the Orisha to calm down. They will come down. So
I say, Baba, hold on, Baba. We quickly running out of time. Caller,
I think he misunderstood my question.
Yeah.
Your question. Let me choose your question.
Wait. Let the sister re-ask her question.
Yes.
Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. What I was trying to say, what I would like to see. Is, and let me put it this way, that each Babalawo that initiates someone from abroad have a general plan on how it is that you're going to advance your students. What it is that the woman needs to know, whether it's, okay, I'm going to make sure that each one, they learn how to drop cola, or that they have a plan, that they have to learn these things. What I want to see is that in Nigeria, that they set up something for those that are abroad because they're not always able to go abroad, or maybe they are, so that this way it's so that they're not looked at as a dollar sign and that they're still learning, that they're still connected with Nigeria. And, you know, that there's a way to make them grow. Once you become initiated,
yes,
it should not just be a cutoff period.
Yeah, you're right.
I absolutely agree.
If you get initiated, no matter that, it will teach you how to feel good, how to make or share, make weekly prayer to your
yes.
But some people, they know it, but they don't share it with others. I heard something about that, because some people, when they come here, whatever you teach them, when they come down to back to America, they don't teach them. I say, why? Okay. So because we can't give you something that you don't know how to take care of it. You go to the shelter, you don't know how to take care of Ifa or Oshun when you get back home. No, we try to teach people. Okay, this is your Oshun. In the weekly prayer of Oshun, this is how you throw cola. If your cola opens, this is what it says. If your cola closes, this is what it says. Some people, when they get back home, some people forget. But that's
okay,
the problem is practical. Practical.
Yeah.
You see, it's closed.
Mm-hmm.
It's closed. It's open. It's the practical things. And to make you more understanding.
Baba, thank you, Baba. We're going to elaborate more. We're going to let you say more. Just slow down for a minute. I have one more caller I want to bring in. And before I bring the next 347-398, before I open your line, I want everyone to know that everybody's line is open. So let's be respectful and sort of listen for the other people so that we don't all talk over each other and everybody can get their point across. We're going to run out of live time in the next 10 minutes or so. After that, everyone who is still on the phone lines will still be able to be a part of the conversation, and it will go into archives, so you will be able to get your questions and your comments in. I just want to be fair and allow the last hands that are raised to bring in their question or comment. So area code 347-398, what is your question or comment, please?
Hello, good afternoon. I'm pretty much have a comment and a question.
Sure.
Not long ago, I had a conversation with a Babalawo from Ibadan that's living here in the States, and I was talking to him. Is there anything, it kind of correlates with, let me calm down, because this is my first time calling, I'm kind of nervous. I asked him the importance of the female energy in the development of a Babalawo. Is it necessary for the Babalawo to be married in order to function as a Babalawo? And he said, and I found it kind of like disrespectful, that a woman has to be around because who's going to take care of your clients? And I was like, what? is that the only purpose? And he didn't know. It was kind of an infantile response. And then I spoke to another Babalawo overseas over the phone, and every time he mentioned his family and his kids, but he never mentioned the wife. I had to ask him, how's your wife? Otherwise, he wouldn't tell me anything about the wife. So is it something that is becoming is this type of behavior something natural in the Yoruba system, or is something that they have adopted through the colonization? Because I think that the female energy needs to be mentioned. I see the way the imbalance. It's not normal. Another question is how is it necessary? Is there anything that in Ifa that talks about celibacy for men? Is it necessary for the male Babalawo to be married? That's it.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Let me respond to that, if you will. I'm sure Baba Elibulma would also have some good input on this. But the role of taking care of clients is a lot more involved than just greeting clients and giving them something to eat and drink when they go in the door. There is a actually a lot of work involved. So I think your view of taking care of clients is not all that it doesn't account for all that the role really is, because that is a huge role. And you'd have to see Obamilau and his family in action in order to really appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, because there is not only, you know, meeting and greeting clients and offering them water when they come in, but there's a lot of care. For instance, my wife, she makes all the leche in the day for my clients. There's a lot of work there. And she participates in a lot of the work that I do. If I need assistance in doing the air ball, she will help me in that. It's really a whole lot of work involved. And all this is part of taking care of the clients. And my wife is me, of course, because that's the title of Obamilau's wife. And these are things that she does without being initiated, but just being the wife of Obamilau and really participating. There's an awful lot of work involved. And you know, in addition to me as an awo doing divination for clients, you know, there are times, especially with female clients, that the woman who comes to you for power also needs just a woman to talk to and to help counsel her. And that's where again, the wife of Obamilau is vital. Because she is able to relate to the females, and she's able to talk with them, and perhaps it helps Obamilau to understand the female client better. There's a lot of work involved there that is not generally seen on the outside and is not talked about, but it is very vital. So, you know, the role of helping clients is a lot more than what you may think it is. Right, so that's not, should not write that role off or belittle it in any way or some significance. The wife of Obamilau is able to do things that Obamilau himself did not, and also things that Obamilau himself would not have time to do if he was, you know, steadily seeking and serving clients. And also, the wife of Obamilau does not have to be initiated. She has an important role just as the wife of Obamilau. As I said, all these things that my wife does, she's not initiated, but she does them merely as being the wife of Obamilau. And I must say she does all this very well, and she carries it out with a great sense of pride and responsibility. And that's not something that just any woman could do. You know, the wife of Obamilau is truly a very special woman. So, although there is no mandate in the file that Obamilau must be married, it is definitely preferable, and that is spoken many times throughout the file and almost any other command. It is preferable that Obamilau be married, and a truly busy and active Obamilau will need more than one attribute to help him in everything that he does, and also to build up the family. Because, you know, the larger family you have, the more people there are to help in your mission, the more people there are, you know, because the mission of Obamilau is just not only his personal mission, it's the mission of his family.
I think too it's important to note that there might be I'm sorry, Baba, that there might also be some confusion in terms of the roles. I think we see even in terms of an owl and a babalawo, I don't think are quite technically the exact same thing. We see Orisha priests that are often, particularly here in the States, where the titles and the positions and the roles are not necessarily clear, that are sort of viewed as a babalawo. Many people view me as a babalawo. I'm not a babalawo. I have the implement of a babalawo, but I'm not a babalawo. I'm more of an Orisha priest. But having said that, it's still almost impossible to do anything without the involvement of women, whether they be your wife or other priestess, and elders even in the community. I rely heavily on the women in Congo Square of various traditions to fulfill roles that I cannot fulfill, but also to bring balance to what I am doing. I hope that brings some clarity also to your answer, and we are quickly running out of time.
Yes.
Right. About balance, or bringing balance to what you're doing, I want to emphasize that by pointing out there are times when I am doing Ebo or just making my routine offerings to be filed or to any of the arena that I have, where my offering is not accepted unless wife makes an offering. Because I have gone through this, sometimes where I'm making an offering, everything's looking good, and I go to close out and ask Ifa or whatever Risha I'm working with, is everything factory? And I come up, no. And I continue asking to see if there's anything else needed, and the answer's just no. And so then, I ask, well, do you want my wife to also offer gin or offer cola or whatever it is? And the answer comes out, yes, and all my wife may have to do is spray some gin on the Orisha, and everything's accepted.
Can I interject something quickly?
Please, beloved, go ahead. Ifa, hold on for a second. Go ahead, Queen.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to interject something to what OJ Lola was saying, that, it's important that we have to look and see that when babalawos are even born, they're not born without Odu being present. So unless you don't pass through the womb of a woman, I don't see how anything can be completely functional.
Gosh.
So that's just a comment that I want to make about respecting women and raising them up, because we're nurturing people, and just like anything else, the mom is your first teacher. So she wants to love the family and see that things go well. I would just like to see people in the diaspora and as well as, abroad to extend their hands to help to lift women up, because we're dealing with a heck of a whole lot more than they think we are. And I'd just like to close with that and thank you guys for having this program today.
That was a powerful finish.
Yes.
I was actually going to close with a story from the book Ifa, the Custodian of Destiny, by Yemi Elabwabu. And within this book, there's a story called Motherhood Deserves Commendation from the Ogun Dadi Corpus. And basically it talks about a prince being pushed to offer sacrifice of an arm or a leg to sort of, briefly shorten the story. And the only thing that prevented that offering from being necessary was the prayer of the mother and the energy and the presence and the supplication of the mother. So there was no more powerful of a finish that you could have put on the show than what you said. Odu, the wife of Ifa, is necessary in all things. And we must remember that. We must honor that. We must respect that in our endeavor. I see you all continue this conversation with us, saying hi. Here on Blog Talk Radio, we most certainly appreciate all of you for coming and participating in the broadcast, EFI Wednesday, as well as my daily show. I don't often get an opportunity to do the daily show because I'm so busy, but I try to adhere to my Wednesday high noon U.S. Standard Time schedule for EFI Wednesday. This is the end of our show. We most certainly do appreciate each and everyone who participated, all of our callers, as well as all of our listeners. We most certainly do appreciate you and invite you to continue forward with us here at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch and EFI Wednesday. All is truly and indeed a blessing.
work hard to get what's mine. Now I know that the chosen are few. There's no mountain I can't climb, though the valley is so wide. I'll be always driving constantly through. So someday I'll find somewhere I can be free, to live with love in a perfect harmony. It might take some time, protect us from our enemies, monsters, cries, and prophecy. Shall be the shield on my right hand, my will I watch over me. So you know that I will always be serving His majesty. There is no shortcut to this road,
Akarachulaki mi balo kwanjo. Baba bonada. Baba bonada eje. Baba bonada yegueseo. Agayu nyamuru nyamuru. Agayu serelao. Akarachulaki mi bao. Olo unje monikumoni yo. Baba bonada eje, baba bonada yegueseo, agayu nyamuru nyamu, agayu serelao, akarachulaki mi bao, olo unjo, moniku moniyo. Batalla marico la oye, o bagayo insolanile, e wokirio amalaku o kuotani o kwan, mayambio e.
Changoni obo mio e. Changoni obo mio e.
Mole mole, so la malakuo, o kuota ni o kwan, ma yambi o e. Ah, lubata ya marikola oye, o bagayu insolanile, e wakiri o kwan, ma yambi o e.
Changoni obo mio e, odi cosa di mole mole, so guasi sala malakuo, o kuo tani o kwan, ma yambio e.
Ya mulele oluami. Ya mulele oluami. Agaosi lolo bale. So wosin sola malaku o. O kuo tani o kwan. Mayambio e.
Changoni omo mio e. Changoni omo mio e.
Ya mulele oluami. Ya mulele oluami. Agao si lolo bale. So wosin sola malaku o. O kuo tani o kwan, ma yambio e.
Changoni omo mio e. Changoni omo mio e. O di cosa di mole mole. So
Ayilo da kaiko kamorawa.
agayu eleko kwela ye.
Eleko e.
party time.